Since I messed up the announcements and the offering, let me throw one more in. In a couple weeks, we have a missionary coming. Her name is Ariel Rainey. She's been a missionary in Palestine, and she's now a missionary in Spain, and she ministers to Muslim refugees that are escaping ISIS. And what I'm concerned about is the midsummer slump. And so could we as a church start to just put something into the offering and just designate it Ariel Rainey, so that even if we have a light Sunday when she shows up, we'll be able to give her a good offering, because that's how she stays on the mission field, is, you know, through the giving of churches like ours. So if we, there'll also be an opportunity to offer her monthly support. But if you could think about that in advance and contribute towards Ariel Rainey, we'll make sure that she gets a good offering when she comes. If you, their children's church is now, we dismiss the kids through that door back there. Your children are welcome to stay in the service if you'd like them to. If they want to go to children's church, that's fine too. I've got kind of a baseball-themed sermon this morning, so it's up to you. The kids can do whatever they want, and we're happy that they're here. Go ahead, kids. Go quietly and reverently to children's church. Yeah, okay. Would you? They're kids. Okay. How many of you ever played Little League baseball? How many of you played Little League baseball? Okay, I never played Little... How many of you ever coached Little League baseball? I coached Little League baseball. You notice I never played Little League baseball, but I coached Little League baseball. It was a lot of fun on the teams that I was involved in. How many of you ever played high school baseball? All right. Anybody make it to college baseball? All right, we have... All right. How many of you ever played softball? All right, I played softball. Anybody here a baseball fan? You have a team that you like. Anybody having a rough time listening to a preacher who's got a Yankees jersey on? I'll try to stay behind this music stand here this morning. It's a funny story. A couple seasons, my grandson was on the Round Hill Red Sox. And I just got to tell you that when you coach, you wear the jersey, you wear the hat. You know, when your kid's playing, you cheer for the team. And it was tough. So here's the thing. I needed a whole lot of grace during those seasons. And maybe you just need a little bit of grace, and maybe a grace towards me on a Sunday morning for 10 or 15 minutes. But anyway, it's funny how invested we are in, we're invested in games like baseball. And I was thinking about how baseball is more than just the game. It is a game, right? What did I say a couple months ago? I wonder if the kids remember. Baseball is a game, and games are... for fun, that's right. You remember, good job, guys. Good job. And they are, but I also believe that there are some life lessons and even some spiritual truths that are illustrated in the game of baseball, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm pretty sure, though, that the guy who invented baseball, they say it's a guy named Abner Doubleday, I don't think he was making any theological or spiritual statements when he invented the game. But I have found in watching it that it illustrates some very important lessons. In fact, my sermon this morning is called The Gospel According to Baseball. And so I want to take some time this morning to kind of talk about baseball and then connect it with some of the truths that we find in the Bible. Let me just pray. Father in heaven, again, we come to you. We ask your blessing. We ask that our ears would be open to hear, our minds would be able to understand, our hearts could be moved. Lord, I ask that you would enable me to speak a truth for all of us who need to hear it. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's see if we can find some truths about life in the game of baseball. Go to the next slide. I was surfing around the internet trying to get some ideas, and I realized that baseball is a game where they do an awful lot of measuring of things. Anybody ever keep score in a baseball game or a little league game? It's kind of like I did it for the first time, and I didn't realize how many things you had to write down on the paper. They measure all sorts of stuff in baseball games. And in the major leagues, it's even more intense. You see, everything is captured, all the statistics. They have statistics for all sorts of things. And it's all added up, and it's all written down somewhere. Baseball has statistics for batting average, for runs batted in, for strikeouts, for the number of stolen bases, the number of attempts to steal a base. They record the on-base percentage and the slugging percentage. They have stats for pitchers, and man, I never want to be a pitcher because, man, everything's being measured there. When you're a pitcher, they write down how many batters you faced, how many innings you pitched, how many games you started, how many games you finished, earned run average, hits and runs that you allowed, bases on balls, intentional bases on balls, strikeouts, balks, and how many times you hit the batter. And that's a lot of stats for them. But it's even more than that. There were stats, I was looking at them and I was thinking, what in the world are they measuring here? Because you had to take this stat minus that stat and divide it by that stat and you come up with another stat. And it's all captured and it's all written down. And then, you know what's worse than that? They publish all this stuff. It ends up in the paper. How many people still read a real paper? I remember I would read the box scores and you'd read the paper and you'd see all the stats in there. So it's not bad enough they're writing it down. They publish them in the paper and they're viewable on the internet and they announce them on the radio and you go to the stadium and every time the batter gets up or a new pitcher comes in, there's all those stats up there. And the idea is that in baseball, everything's got a number. It's carried out to 3 decimal places. Nobody says he's a pretty good batter. What they say is he's batting 276. It's so precise and it's all measured. In other words, there's no way to pretend success and there's no way to hide failure. The numbers tell the story and they're all right there in the book. I got a picture, a little clip from the internet here. This guy's name is Jack Doyle. He played from 1889 to 1905. That was his career. And I'm thinking to myself, he's long gone. But it seems like forever. We can look up and see what this guy did during his career. The good news is he was like a 299 batter, and that's pretty good. He had 518 stolen bases. And I'm thinking, that's pretty good. I don't see anything of caught stealing. That's that one column down the middle. I don't know whether they didn't record that in his day or he just never got caught, which would be an awesome stat to have. But you know what else I noticed about this guy is somewhere around 28, 29 years old, his stats started to tail off a little bit. By the time he was 34, he was finished. But for as long as there's baseball, we're going to see exactly how Jack Doyle played the game. You know, it's the same way in life. Go to the next slide. There's a complete record of our lives. It's being recorded. Somebody's keeping score. All your stats are being considered. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's all there. The Bible says, nothing in all the world can be hidden from God. Everything is clear and lies open before him. And to him, we must explain the way that we've lived. If you didn't notice on your table, there's a little handout, and you're invited to kind of fill in the blanks and circle some words if you'd like. And there's two words that I circled in this passage. It's nothing and everything. You know, those are absolutes. They mean exactly what they say. Nothing escapes him and nothing is hidden from him. Everything is recorded. And then there's another phrase in there, and I call this the bad news of the gospel. The gospel has lots of good news, but this is kind of like the bad news. We must explain the way we have lived. There's going to be an accounting. The record will stand forever, and there will be an accounting. Let's go to the next slide. This is another way that baseball is like life. And the second one is nobody's that good when they're measured against perfection. You know, when you look at the stats in baseball, a perfect batting average is 1,000. That's a perfect batting average. But nobody who played more than a few games ever batted 1,000. You know what a good batter hits? He hits about 250. That's a good batter. He gets one hit every four tries. And you think about it at work. If you only get your job done once every four times you try, that's not so good in most jobs, is it? It's 1 for 4. But if you get one hit every four tries in baseball, they give you a multi-million dollar contract. You bat 300 or get 3 out of 10 and you're a star player. And if you do 3 out of 10 for several years in a row, you'll probably get into the Hall of Fame. You see, perfection is way up here. But reality is way down here. I was thinking about Mickey Mantle. Obviously, I would think of somebody else if I wasn't wearing this jersey. But he's one of the all-time greats of the game. He hit huge home runs, lefty and righty. And I just did that backwards if anybody wasn't paying attention. Yet Mantle struck out 1,710 times in his career. That's a lot of strikeouts. And his career batting average is 298. Again, he got 3 hits for every 10 at-bats. But he's one of the all-time great players. Nevertheless, getting 3 hits in 10 tries is nowhere near perfection. Nobody is very good when they're measured against the absolute batting standard of 1,000. I want to tell you something. Life can be like that as well. Baseball might be hard. It might judge us severely. But life is like that as well. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says no one is righteous, not even one. No one does good, not a single one. The Bible says for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And we're sitting in church this morning, and it's the perfect place for you to consider your scorecard, your lifetime record. You know, you do this to yourself. You don't do this for anybody else's sake. But you ask yourself, what's on my record? What are my wins? What are my losses? What's the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life? What's the things on my record that only I and God know about? What are the things that make me feel uncomfortable? Are there things you'd rather not talk about? Are there things you regret and wish you had never happened or never done? Nevertheless, those things are part of your life, and they're on your heavenly record. And no one's record is very good compared to God's standard. Let me give you another one this morning. Another truth in baseball is that there are lots of opportunities for redemption. You know, redemption refers to chances to start again and reclaim what you've lost. And one of the things I like about baseball is there's so many opportunities for redemption. Think about it. There are lots of innings in a game. Lots of innings. There's many opportunities to get an at-bat. So you have multiple at-bats. You can strike out twice in a game and still get the game-winning hit. There's lots of innings. One bad inning can't cost you a game. You get multiple chances during each at-bat to get a hit or get on base. A batter with 2 strikes can still get a hit and even a home run. A pitcher with an 0-3 count can still get the batter out. I love that about baseball. I love it when you see a pitcher, a young kid who's gotten behind 0-3, and then he strikes the batter out. I love that. I love a 2-out rally.
I love that. There's two outs. There's kids on base. And the kids at the plate, they don't give up because there's no reason to give up. You can just keep playing because there's always an opportunity to redeem yourself. You know what else I love about baseball? I love about baseball that a kid can go out and start pitching. Man, he loads up the bases. He gives up a couple hits. The other team scores five runs, and we're talking Little League right now. And so the inning ended with no outs. But that same kid that loaded the bases and let the five runs score, he gets up to bat in the next inning. Bases are loaded. He hits a deep shot, and through an error or two, they clear the bases. And now he's gone from letting five runs score to scoring for himself. There's an opportunity for redemption. I have this card up here. It's a guy named Bob Brindley, and it's a great redemption story. He was playing for the San Francisco Giants. He was a third baseman. I have two young kids here told me they like to play third base. Well, he played third base for the Giants in the 80s. And in one inning, his whole career kind of like comes apart. He missed a routine ground ball. Four batters later, he kicked a ground ball. He went after it. He made a wild throw to the plate. It overthrew. All the runs scored. And so in one inning, this guy ends up making four errors. And I believe that is still a record in MLB today. Four errors in one inning. But you know what? That wasn't the end of his story. That wasn't the end of his game. So later on in the game, he gets up to bat, and he hits a home run. That's in the fifth inning. In the seventh inning, he hit a bases-loaded single, driving in two runs, and he ties the game. Then in the bottom of the ninth, he came up to bat again with two outs. He ran the count to 3-2, and then he hit this massive home run into left field to win the game. Brindley's scorecard for the day came out this way. Three hits on five at-bats, two home runs, four errors, four runs allowed, four RBIs, including the game winner. You know, life can be like that too, can't it? There are multiple opportunities for redemption. Our lives are all a mixture of hits and errors. And there's grace in that. It means that you always have another chance. Grace won't exactly erase your errors, but it'll give you a chance to make up for them. If you just hit 200, God can hit 850 to more than fill in the difference. It's not over till it's over. In fact, there was a great baseball theologian named Yogi Berra, and he coined the phrase, "It ain't over till it's over." It ain't over, it's over. Go to this passage here. It's found in Titus. It's one of the memory verses I have. It talks about Jesus who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that is very own, eager to do what is good. I love this word, redeem us. It's a beautiful thing in baseball, and it's an amazing thing in life. Jesus came to give you a second chance, a divine do-over. He can take away your losses and give you wins. In baseball, we look for the opportunity to turn the season around. Jesus gives us the opportunity to turn our lives around. So even if your scorecard has a lot of errors on it, we have someone who can give us the win. In fact, if you read the Gospels, you'll find out that Jesus hung around with a lot of people that had errors, people who had gone 0-for-4 in life. The people that he hung around with most often are people that dropped the ball. Society might call them losers, uneducated fishermen, prostitutes, people afflicted with unpleasant diseases, spiritual problems, tax collectors, the lowest of the low in their culture, adulteresses, the outcast, the poor, the unacceptable, the lost. And the Bible says, for the Son of Man came to seek those who were lost. Those who were lost in life and needed a win. I think about Jesus like this incredible relief pitcher who comes into the game after the starting pitcher has been roughed up. And then Jesus comes in and he wins the game for him, a pinch hitter or a pinch runner who comes in to take the place of a player who's not that good at hitting or not that good at running. And then Jesus makes the difference. And then I have one more illustration for you this morning, and I hope the video plays. So how did that runner score? Somebody tell me. No, you say it, Bob. You're my shill. He scored on a sacrifice. The runner on third base got home safely on the hitter's sacrifice. You see, a sacrifice fly is when you hit the ball into the outfielder and the outfielder catches the ball, but there's a runner on third base. And so even though the outfielder caught the ball and the hitter is out, all right, that's the sacrifice part. The runner on third base tags up and he heads home. And in this case, he beat the throw to home. And so the runner on third base got home safely because the batter took a sacrifice. You know, it's the same way in the Bible. It's the same way in the gospel. The Bible says Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life by the Spirit. He died once for the sins of all guilty people, sinners. You circle that maybe. This refers to his sacrificial death on the cross. He died in our place. He took our punishment. We deserved the punishment. He took it for us. This is the good news of the gospel. And then circle the other phrase, that he might bring us safely home to God. This is the statement of purpose. Jesus took the out so we could have the run. He sacrificed himself so we could come safely home. And we're not talking about home plate, but a place in God's home. This speaks of living in close relationship with him, having the privilege of calling him your Father. And the way we come home to God is through Christ. And when we think about this, I want to tell you about what this means in our life. It means that when we come home to God, we're living in his household. We have a close relationship with him. He strengthens us to overcome the obstacles of life. He's present with us to give us peace and strength when we need it. The Bible says he's closer than a brother. He gives us peace in life's storms. I always like to say, with God is up here, without him is down here. And that's what Jesus did. He took the out so that we could enjoy God's presence in our life, here in this life, and for eternity. Could I get my praise team to come up here? You know, baseball can teach us a lot of things about life. Someone's keeping score. No one's really good when compared to the perfection. There are many opportunities for redemption. And God wants you to get home safely to him on his son's sacrifice. So maybe you're here today, and maybe you need a comeback in life. Would you bow your heads? This is one of those times where you just you and God, nobody else. Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's thinking about you. It's just you and God. Maybe you need a comeback in life. Maybe you need a second chance. Maybe you have a lot of errors on your scorecard, and you know that they're going to be there for forever. Well, the scorekeeper can erase them, and he can give you a clean slate to start over. That's what redemption is all about. That's what the sacrifice of the cross was about. Maybe today is that opportunity for redemption. You know, if the runner is watching and he sees the ball hit into the outfield and he doesn't tack up and go home, it's a wasted sacrifice. It didn't apply to him. Well, today could be somebody's opportunity to take advantage of that sacrifice that was made on your behalf. The sacrifice is made. but the runner on third's got to tug up, head home if he wants to score. And the same thing is true. He already made that sacrifice. And you have to make a move. We make that move simply, quietly in our hearts. We say, you know what? I'd like to come safely home. I'd like to have God be part of my life. I know that something's missing there. And if you feel that way, that something's missing, well, the Bible kind of explains that that thing that's missing is a relationship with God. Maybe you're facing things that are just hard right now, and God never meant for you to face them alone. He wants you to face him, those things in your life with him and not without him. So we pray a simple prayer. Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I've sinned. I know I've done things I shouldn't have done. I want my life to change. Would you come into my life? Would you forgive me? Would you come into my life and would you help me? Would you help me to know the right way? Would you give me the strength to live the right way? Would you come into my life so that I can get through what I'm going through? You pray a simple little prayer like that, and that's the first step. The first step of a whole new life. That's the beginning of your redemption, and that redemption is good for here in life, and it'll carry you through for eternity. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that's come here this morning. I ask, Lord, that the words that were spoken, that the meal that was shared, that your presence among us would make an eternal difference in all of our lives. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? This is our closing song.